Man, it was good to come and pray earlier and make my life a prayer to you. Go the words of a song. Make my life a prayer to you. I want to do what you want me to. And that's a life of prayer. Lord, I submit to your will. I want to be in your will. I want to be praying according to your will. And obedience is part of that, obeying the known will of God and the word of God, which comes to life in my life. Comes to life, comes to light. It is what I see and I obey that. And I, though I fall, yet I shall arise. For the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his right hand. And that's us, that's the church. We're upheld by the Lord, though we are weak and weak vessels, yet the Lord chooses to, for some reason, choose a peculiar people like us to show forth his praises and to be a praying people. And tonight I want to look at praying in faith. We must come to the Lord and we must pray in faith. We must believe. And, you know, I'm not going to talk tonight about some kind of name it and claim it theme, which unfortunately people in the church at different points have been distracted by. That kind of faith, and the more zealous and the more hard I pray and the more I sacrifice, and you know, it's not in that. It's often just a crying out to God in my weakness, but praying in faith. Praying in faith. And we need to be faith-filled people, and our prayers need to be filled with faith. It needs to be filled with belief that God hears and that God answers. He answers prayer. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Hebrews 11 teaches us, he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so that's what we want to do tonight. Let's ask God's help as we look at some scriptures tonight. Heavenly Father, I just come to you tonight, and as we share these loaves and these fish together, Lord, these are not my loaves nor my fish. This is your word, Father. And Lord, I don't know why I stand here, but you've chosen it to be so. And I pray that you help me tonight. Father, I pray that you be glorified, that you help your people tonight. Help me, Father, as I deliver this word. Help your people, Lord, as we together break bread, break fish, and share it amongst one another. We know it all comes from you, and we lift our eyes to the heavens. From there our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So fill us now, Lord, with words. Fill me, Lord, with your word as I preach in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And so we ought to pray with faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. You cannot pray and God, will you hear? God, will you answer? That's not prayer. And God, he hates that, because we make a mockery of him and we demean him. And God, the more scripture you look at, there's no excuse for unbelief. There's just no excuse for weakness, yes, but not for unbelief. For weakness, yes, we can be weak and we can see our frailty, and we come to that place of brokenness. We come to the place of confession, as we looked at last week, where we confess our known faults to the Lord. And our known sin is transparent to God. And we say, Lord, this is who I am. And this is what I've done. Lord, take it upon thyself. And it says, you know, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. We looked at that last week. So we cannot even regard it in our hearts, for the Lord doesn't hear. And likewise, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Without faith in your prayer, it's impossible to please God. We must believe that God is. We must believe that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And we do that by praying. We can diligently seek his face. We can come to the prayer closet. And we need to be praying in faith, with faith. It's something that God, he does not excuse in his word at any point. In fact, you know, the unbelieving are together coupled with the sorcerers and those who are cast out into the lake of fire. They're the unbelieving, ultimately, those who have rejected Christ, who have not believed unto salvation. But, you know, unbelief in any form and lack of faith is not pleasing to God. And so as we pray and as we come to God, we must believe that He is. We must believe He's a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. I cannot stress that enough. We must be faith-filled people, but it's a far cry, friends, from the name it and claim it gospel. It's a far cry from the notion that we can just, whatever we say, it's going to happen. We just pray and it's going to happen, God. That's not the mentality. That's not the heart of God's people. That's not Scripture. That's not the heart of the early church. But if you turn to the book of James, we have a very interesting account. And it's in relation to a prayer of faith made by the elders of the church. Now, it's in James 5 and verse 13. And we looked at this at the beginning of, I guess, this short series, if you want to call it, on prayer. And we looked at the life of Elijah. And we say here in verse 13, the Word of God says, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed any sins, he'll be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." And I do stress, the effective, fervent prayer is not me clamoring and clanging, and for my noise I will be heard, and for my repetitions I will be heard. It's not that. Elijah was a broken man. Oftentimes he was alone. And you know, today we heard of God working and salvation. Phil, this young boy this morning, my boys came to me and shared just before, a young boy in our street, Andrew, who my boys have been witnessing to, giving him tracts, telling him not to use God's name in vain. You know, and so this boy, so we see these fruits, but oftentimes there are years of drought. And so now it's easier to pray in faith, isn't it, when we see salvation? It's easier to pray in faith when we see harvest. But what about the low times? What about the times of great drought where things seem to be going backwards? That was Elijah's day. That's where he was. He was in a time where the children of Israel were on the fence and they couldn't decide between Baal. They couldn't decide between Jehovah. And so this was the era. This was the time of this man. But James stresses the point to us. And in the New Testament setting, he says that the prayer of faith will save the sick. Now, what does that mean? I looked at that scripture and I thought, well, my wife has just fallen sick. She's terribly ill. I've never seen her sleep so much, to be honest. I've been running around after six children, so if I fall asleep tonight, you'll know why. So do I take Wayne? Do I take Max? Do I take others or call upon them? And do we bring my wife here and we pray over her? We anoint with oil in the name of the Lord and she will get healed. She will. Well, I don't believe that's talking about that. I believe that this is related to 1 Corinthians 11 about those who ate and drank in an unworthy manner and they drank judgment to themselves, not discerning the Lord's body. So they partook of the Lord's table and they became sick because of that. And here it's clear that they came, they confessed their faults, and they were healed. But we see that the prayer of faith will save the sick. There's no question. There's no doubting. Now, please, cross-reference that in your own time, 1 Corinthians 11, 29 to 31, and pray before the Lord. Is that related? I just saw it when I saw James 5, 1 Corinthians 11, "For this reason, many are weak and sick among you," in Corinthians. Now they bring those back. They've not discerned the Lord's body. They've come either in pride. They've come loosely to the Lord's table. They've come with known sin to the Lord's table. And they've become sick and some are dying because of that. We read in the book of Acts. And so now the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise him up if he had committed sins, he will be forgiven. And it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And we ought to do that. We ought to do that with faith. So this is a prayer of faith. A prayer of faith that raises up the sick. So it's a given. It's a blueprint. The blueprint is there. This person has fallen as sick, not discerning the Lord's body, I believe. And they bring him before the elders and they pray and he will. There's no question. It's not name it and claim it. It's not, you know, this kind of calling out on God and doing things my way, but it's scriptural. And we ought to pray. We ought to know that God answers prayer. But tonight, more so than that, I want to just look at, friends, how we as a body of people who are weak and can be frail and lacking in faith can come and seek God's face and ask, God, increase my faith. And friends, we need to pray with faith. We need to pray with faith. Please, please, please don't pray if you're not praying in faith. Please don't pray. Please first confess, like we heard last week. First confess. Get right with God. Get your heart right with God. And if you know that you're going to come and you know you're wavering, pray first, God, increase my faith. God, make me believe you are who you are. Make me believe your word is true. And every dot and tittle, every little bit of that scripture is true. It will be fulfilled. It is truth. And God, according to your word, in accordance with your word, I, broken, humble as I am, weak as I am, I confess my weakness to you. I pray, God. Oh, Lord, I pray you save. God, I pray you do this work. God, I pray, I pray, I pray. And this is, I believe, friends, an approach and a way to pray. It is to come not as strong, not necessarily as God is going to hear me, but coming in humility. It is like a sacrifice of prayer and an offering. Lord, accept it, I pray. And we make supplications to the Lord and we pray. But friend, weakness should never be misunderstood with unbelief. Weakness and unbelief are different things completely. Paul said, he said, my grace is sufficient for you, the Lord spoke to him in 2 Corinthians 12:9. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And so Paul says, most gladly, therefore, I will boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. That man prayed the world upside down. He prayed the world upside down. This man, this apostle. And so he says, though, in infirmities and in reproaches, in needs, in my weakness, I pray. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. And it's out of that life. That's why I've stressed in this short series, you know, not making prayers to God, but having a prayer life. Being a prayer-filled person. You can't just begin to pray. You've got to be a man or a woman of prayer. You've got to be a man or woman of faith. You can't just make little prayers up to God, just willy-nilly and will God hear me, will he not? But God is calling us, his body, to be a praying people, a body that believes the word of God, believes that it is written. And he will have his will. Come distress or famine or persecution or increase and fruit. Come the loss of all things. Come the loss of all my brethren, all my neighbors. You know, Paul was in distresses. He was left alone quite often, as the prophets were, as Elijah was. And yet, he prayed. He prayed. I wonder how he prayed. I wonder if we could have had a prayer meeting with Paul or with Elijah in the cave. I wonder if we were able just to eavesdrop in on that prayer. Or come in on that. I wonder what that would have sounded like. I wonder what, because, you know, it was their lives, friends. They didn't sort of switch on and off and You know, no, no, friends. We don't switch on and off with God. If we have a relationship with someone, we speak to that person. That person speaks to us. If I have a relationship with my wife, a wonderful relationship, which I'm so privileged to have, I speak to her and she speaks with me. And we have a mutual connection. We are able to speak to one another. We are able to relate. And you know, it is like that with Christ. Now, I don't bring him down. I don't bring the Lord down. Please don't misunderstand me. I say though in the context of the bride, I say in the context of Christ and the bride and the church, and he's coming in to us and he's speaking to us, and we to him, we communing with him. I think that's what it would have been like with Elijah, even in his weakness and his great distress. And I think that's what it was like in Paul's life, a man of prayer, a man of faith, that in his weakness and in his infirmities and in his reproaches, he prayed in faith, in 100% faith, nothing wavering. We are to pray, we are to ask, nothing wavering, not wavering. You know, the man who, I beg your pardon, James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, now this is praying for wisdom, let him ask of God. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, so we're asking for wisdom, we're praying for wisdom, let him ask of God. Asking God, beseeching God, supplicating, that's prayer, that's prayer. It's not a prayer, it's prayer. There's a difference, it's not a prayer, it's prayer. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith. Let him ask in faith, with no doubting, nothing wavering. That was from the old King James. With no doubting, not wavering. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let that not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Well, there's a rebuke there. There's quite a rebuke. Let him ask in faith, James says. We are to ask, not doubting. So here we are. The context is prayer for wisdom. But then James says, if you doubt, you will not receive anything from the Lord. So whatever you ask for, you're not going to get. Because you're like a wave tossed, driven by the wind. And you're double-minded, unstable in all your ways. Now that's a rebuke. And that's a challenge. And we ought to pray, Lord, remove double-mindedness from me. Give me single-mindedness. Because single-mindedness is faith. You know, the world calls us the narrow-minded. You know, we're not narrow-minded, we're single-minded. You know, the Buddhists, and you come and you try and witness to a Buddhist, and you'll get so far, and you have to move on. You have to move on. You have to look for, if a person hardens their heart, you've got to move on. Don't waste time with people. When you're witnessing to people, because your 80 years on this earth will go real quick, don't waste time. If you see that there's a hard heart, you're not getting anywhere, move on. Because you say to the Buddhist, well, you're open-minded, right? Yes, I am. We'll hear the gospel. No. But you're open-minded, right? Yes, I am. I'm open-minded. We'll hear the gospel. No. No, friends. They are not open-minded. They are deceived. But we ought to be single-minded. Single-mindedness. He is a double-minded man, James says, and unstable in all his ways. That was the church, or Israel at the time, in Elijah's day. They were double-minded. Elijah rebuked them, and at the great scene in Kings, he says to them and he implores them, if Jehovah be God, serve him. If Baal be God, follow and serve him. And the people answered him not a word. They were clueless. And so this double-mindedness, people come, and as we said at the beginning, people pray. Every people in every religion pray in some way, shape or form. Then people in denominations pray. And then the church within those denominations, the body of Christ, pray. And I pray that's every one of us here tonight. I trust that it is. Pray. Praying. And the church, I looked at that scripture again today in Chronicles, and it says, you know, if my people, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, I'm thinking revival, I'm thinking God turning the world upside down again. If my people are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. There's confession. Then I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin and heal their land. Oh, I'm still praying for that. Are you? Are we still praying that denominations would come together? Not in ecumenism, not in some form of compromise, but in a crucible of a melting pot of fire. When God draws near, when Christ comes near, and the tremors and the shakings on this earth take place, that the people who are called by their names will humble themselves and will pray and seek the face of God and will confess their sin. I still pray for that. I still pray that in this land we may not see things go backwards, but that we may see things go forwards. I still have that hope because the gospel, the word of God gives me that hope. The word of God gives me that hope. It's not some emotion. It's not some whipped up fleshly desire. It's God and His Holy Spirit. He wants us to be prayer-filled people and He wants us to pray in faith. I still believe that God can turn Hazelbrook upside down. I believe that. I believe that He can cause a fire to come down and turn this place upside down. And that is what we do. We want to, we see mercy drops, but we do plead for those showers. We plead for God to pour Himself out. And God can do that if He sees a people who are praying. If He sees a people who are confessing their sins. And it even says, confess your faults one to another. If you struggle with something, and you have hidden sin, go to a brother, go to a sister, go to someone more spiritual than you and share with them and pray together with them. That's biblical. That's scriptural. Pray. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Pray. Pray in faith. Ask. Nothing wavering. Ask without doubting. God cannot bless unbelief. He cannot. Just like last week, we looked at the gravity of sin, the gravity of unconfessed sin. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So I come and I ask God to cleanse me that I might be a pure vessel, that this interaction might be clear, that the stream may not have within it that which stops and hinders that flow, that communion with God. And in the same way, friend, faith, faithlessness, unbelief is that great hindrance. The sin of unbelief, it's all through Scripture. The greatest sin, yes, the great rejection of Christ, that ultimate penalty of unbelief, but also unbelief in any form. Unbelief, counting His awesome majesty a small thing. He doesn't excuse faithlessness. To believe that God is not good, to believe He's not good, to believe that He doesn't answer prayer is a great wickedness. To believe that He cannot hear, it's just pride, it's just outright pride. It's human pride. Cursed is the man, Jeremiah says, who trusts in man and makes flesh his arm, whose heart departs from the Lord. And Psalm 118:8, it says it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. We don't put confidence in man. We don't put confidence in, schemes and methods and all of those things. We put our confidence in God. We put our trust in God. That's what faith is. It's trusting God. It's believing that He is and coming to Him, knowing He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, knowing that our prayers can be made, even in weakness, they can be made through faith, through faith. The apostles said to the Lord in Luke 17:5, Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. And the Lord answers and said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to the mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. You know, the Lord himself, he says to us, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed. And they said, Lord, increase, increase our faith. And so when we come, and last week we looked at confession, coming to prayer, how to pray, we are to confess, we are to be a clear stream, and we are to ask if we lack faith, if we lack wisdom, if we lack any good thing, Lord, increase my faith. I come to you. I acknowledge this is an issue that is overwhelming. I confess. This will take a miracle for this thing to happen. But I want to pray, God. I want to pray and ask in faith. I come in faith. And that coming is not on some whimsical notion, but it's coming because I am living and abiding in the known will of God. And so the things that are coming up in me are not my desires. The Holy Spirit is placing them there. And so isn't it wonderful? God gives the desire. He gives the first seeds, and then he calls us as children, to come to him and ask in faith. In Matthew 17, Jesus said, because of your unbelief, he rebuked his disciples for their unbelief, and he said to them, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there. There are mountains, friends. There are mountains that you see, and you begin to trail off. You begin to wane in faith. You begin to quaver and waver and doubt. God is not pleased in that. He cannot be pleased with that. And he calls us to ask in faith. Let that man not think he will receive anything from the Lord if he does not ask in faith. Jesus asks and calls us to a place, even in our frailties and weaknesses, to be faith-filled people. We ought to pray with the attitude of the man who, when his demoniac son, can you imagine the mountain this man was faced with in Mark chapter 9? Can you imagine the mountain of having a demoniac son all your life? And Jesus, testing him, says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that who believes. And the child cries out with tears, saying, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Sometimes there are mountains in our lives. And we come to that place. All our life we've seen such an issue, such a stronghold, such a mountain. And yet, if he who made all things says to us, all things are possible to him who believes, to him who has faith, we can say with that father of the demoniac, we can say, Lord, I believe. In my weakness, I believe. I believe it, for you've said it in your word. Help my unbelief. And Jesus saw and he rebuked at that time the unclean spirit, saying, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Can we see the difference? Can we see the difference between some fleshly prayer that we think we're going to be heard because as a body we're praying hard, or we're fasting, or we're doing all of these things? It's often, friends, in the weakness. It's often in that acknowledgement of our frailty. It's often in that place where we know that we cannot move that mountain, that we trust and we say, Father, we know all things. We want to trust you. Lord, move this mountain. Remove this mountain. God, save that soul, Lord, in my family. God, move that mountain of unbelief. That is how we must pray, coming to him with a clear conscience, and without doubting, without doubting. So friends, without faith, it's impossible to please him. We must come to God. We must believe that he is. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And if any of you lack wisdom or any good thing, let him ask. Let him ask. He gives liberally and without reproach. You know, God is not an Indian giver. Have you heard that term? Growing up, I heard that term. And you know, he doesn't give you something and then take it back. He is not like men who make promises and then fail on their promises. He is a trustworthy God. He is a God who hears and answers prayer. But, it says, there's a condition. James 1:6 says, but let him ask in faith. Friends, there's a condition attached to answered prayer. There are conditions that we come, firstly, without iniquity in our hearts, that we confess known sin, that we come as that vessel, as we heard last week, able to receive, able to pray and able to be heard and able to receive from God. And also that we ask in faith. We don't stop there, but that we do not doubt, that we come to God and not doubt, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea. I don't want to be tossed about. I don't want to be like he named here in James, but I want to be single-minded. I want to be able to pray, connect with the living God, and see something done for God. See my own life change, spiritual growth take place in my life, in my family's life. And see the living God glorified. And ultimately, wouldn't we like to see 2 Chronicles 7:14 come to pass in our land? Coming out of that place of personal prayer and family prayer and collective prayer as a body, that we would see the church, the body of Christ, coming back to the foundations of prayer, cleansing, purifying their garments, and praying, humbling themselves, seeking his face. I believe that. I believe we can see that. I don't want this to be a far-fetched desire. I want to be praying, if God is coming, if I truly believe he's going to cast souls into a lake of fire, if I truly believe that the wicked will not be spared on the day of judgment, the unbelieving will not be spared. The sorcerers, whoremongers, and all unbelievers will be cast into that place, that lake of fire. If I believe that, oh, I want to spend time in prayer. I want to have a life of prayer. Friends, do you have that desire? Do you have that desire to pray? We had a wonderful time to pray tonight. And may that just be reflective of our time through the week, in our homes, in our personal prayer and devotion with God. That we come not doubting. That we come in our place of weakness, supplicating to God and asking him. And let us come not doubting. Let us come in faith. Faith is trusting. He hears, he answers. And ultimately God's will is done. Ultimately God's will is accomplished. As we pray in faith. Isn't it wonderful to trust in Jesus? Just to take him at his word? Just to rest upon his promise? Just to know, thus saith the Lord.